Hi, I'm Justin Chisholm, welcoming you to another episode of the Yacht Racing Podcast, where my guest this time is reigning Olympic champion in the fin class and British America's Cup sailor, Giles Scott. Giles is, of course, calling tactics for Ben Ainslie's all-conquering Ineos Team UK syndicate, who last weekend secured a berth in the Prada Cup Challenger Series final with a breathtaking race against the Italian Luna Rossa Prada Pirelli team. If you haven't seen it, it was an amazing race in which, after no less than 9 lead changes, it was decided on the very final port and starboard cross within a few hundred metres of the finish. I, of course, asked him about that and plenty more besides. Giles, let's begin with that amazing race against the Italians. It was a real thriller to watch. Ben said it was probably the most exciting race he's been involved in. Would you say the same thing?
Yeah, no, it was. I think, you know, that race will probably be remembered for some time to come for sure. It's, you know, nine lead changes, and I think it surprised quite a few people because, you know, with these boats being so young, there was, you know, a lot of scope for some massive differences in performance. But, you know, to get two boats on the race course and be nipping tucking like that was, yeah, it was cool to be a part of for sure.
And talk us through we could talk about the whole race for about an hour, but talk us through that last cross from your vantage point. Were you just, how confident were you, or was your heart in your mouth at that point?
We crossed them on starboard and we're kind of locked out to going all the way to lay line and risking the cross back into the finish because we were so close. And we tried to jibe and go with them on port, we'd likely have been rolled. And as we jibed, we had good pressure inside. And as I as we came out of that jibe and rebuilt, and as I handed the wheel over to Ben and I went down to leeward, I was pretty sure that we were looking just fine and across no problem. But then as we got closer, they started coming down, and you know, with our issues with that Cunningham, we couldn't respond with a low mode, which is why it got so close towards the end. So yeah, when I left the windward side, it was all good, and then got a bit closer, but yeah, we squeezed across there, which was nice for obvious reasons.
At that point, were you saying anything, or were you just staying quiet and waiting to see how it played out?
Oh well, when I went down to leeward, it was clear to everyone what we were doing. We were crossing. We kind of let it play out and waited for the next call, which would have been from Ben either way. But yeah, fortunately we sneaked across.
You did. And can I ask you about some of the technology that you, I suspect, are wearing on your body to give you the information that you need to make these sort of calls? You seem to have information literally at your fingertips whenever Ben asks for something.
Yeah, we do. We don't wear anything on these boats. You have a very strict clothing weight allowance within the class rule. So all the information we get displayed to is on displays that are mounted on the boat. And every boat out there will have a in-house built version of a tactical tool, which the afterguard group kind of specs out and designs with the system guys, and we use one of our system engineers, Andy Bryson, and Wojciech to get those programs up and working. And yeah, we have full control over what we display and when and how. So yeah, it's been a real useful tool, and it in cup racing throughout recent history, those tools have been critical to making good decisions. And you see the time on distance that all the teams have is pretty good, and you know, a lot of that's down to the sailors, but equally the information that we get displayed is critical to being on time there.
What are the things you're focusing on mainly in terms of that information? What are the key information points?
It changes through pre-starts. It's very much about the other boat, which you don't get any information on. And then it's, you know, distances, times to lay lines, pressure, shift, time to kill, where you want to be off the line. It's no, you know, the information that you're after is no different to any other racing that anyone does. It's, you know, it's all pressure and shift. But you just, you know, being able to have that factual based information at your fingertips is key when you've got to make decisions in very little amount of time.
Yeah, you've kind of led me on to my next question, which was that I think a lot of people, me included, have been pleasantly surprised by, you know, despite the technology that's involved in making these boats fly and sail around the course, the actual racing comes down to stuff which anybody who races a sailboat would be very familiar with. The chat that we hear you having on board is about wind shifts and pressure and wind bends and all of that sort of stuff. It's just all happening a lot faster, but how much faster is it happening?
Well, it's we race around a course that's 1.6 miles long, which is, you know, similar kind of size course that you'd race in a slow boat, but we travel at, you know, high 30s upwind and, you know, in the 40s downwind. So yeah, it happens fast. But yeah, as you kind of alluded to, the fundamentals are the same. We're still racing a boat that we want to sail faster over a shorter distance than our competitors. It's, you know, it's yacht racing, which is, you know, which is amazing. And it's, it's, those skills are, I suppose, you know, all good sailors have those skills and understand them, of course. And, all the Cup's been doing really is putting a hell of a lot of speed on top of that, which, you know, is great. And I think, you know, my Cup involvement has been since the dawn, I suppose, of fast boat Cup racing. And I suppose I haven't experienced the America's Cup in the slower boats or version fives, but I love where it's at right now, and wouldn't want to see it change for sure.
Does it spoil you for doing any other kind of racing now?
No, it doesn't. I still do my fin racing, and it's, you know, it's great to be able to operate at either end of the sailing spectrum. You know, the fin's amazingly technical, and there's a lot of development to do in that. But it's also very personal, and it's slow, but it's still boat racing, the competitive nature of both is the same. And, you know, comparatively speaking, it's, you know, it comes back to that, you know, you're sailing against others in the same boat, and all you're really interested is going faster than them.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter if you're doing 4 or 40 knots.
Now, you brought up the fin. Both Ben and yourself are famous for your fin sailing, and you've also come up, both of you, through the British Olympic British sailing team Olympic program.
Yeah,
it's pretty clear that you've gelled very well in the afterguard of the AC boat. Do you think there's part of the reason for that is that, you know, you have this like-minded approach to it because you've both come up through that?
Possibly. I think we certainly share a very similar, I suppose, approach to racing, which helps. We've raced against one another. We've now raced together with one another for quite some time. So you get to expect what's coming next, and conversations can be frank and short, which is again important in these boats. I think all that side of things helps. Having come through the British Olympic program and having been fin sailors, is, you know, it's a competitive class and it's a great program to come through. So it's been a help, but I suppose the communication on board is it kind of comes, you know, reasonably naturally.
There's always seems to be a very calm tone, very calm nature to your communications on board. Is that something you have to deliberately do, or is that natural for you, or is it something you've kind of trained into the two of you?
I think it's a bit of both. I think, you know, naturally, you know, I try to be as calm as I can and be as fat based as possible. But for sure, with these boats, I think, you know, every other team's pretty similar in that regard, is that you can't shout and scream your way around the course, because communication is so critical. It has to be done clearly and precisely. And I think, you know, one of the very useful things that help us keep our voices down is that you can operate these boats at a whisper. And the comm systems that we all run are so good now that you don't need to communicate with raised voices. And that, you know, that does help just settle things down a little bit. And, you know, if you were to come on board the boat without a comms headset on, you would not have a clue what is going on. It's, you know, it's so key to everything. And it's, you know, it is almost at a whisper. So that, you know, that I suppose that helps keep the calm environment. But for sure, the moments where it does get heated, there are a few occasions where, you know, one of us will have to pipe up and give it a, okay, let's, you know, settle down here. So yeah, it does happen, but yeah, sticking on the calm side is a good thing.
Just going back to the fin sailing, we see lots of moth sailors in the America's Cup fleets. A lot of the sailors seem to go practicing in moths and just sail moths for fun in their spare time. Is that typical of the British team as well, or?
Well, yes, it is. We've got I've got a moth myself. I've not had much time to sail it, unfortunately, but for sure it's something that I want to get my head into when the games is over. I mean, the moth's a really cool boat. It's so much tweaking you can do with it, and it's, you know, it's good fun to go out and race with. And there's you know, the fleet is forever growing, I think, at the moment. I think it will continue to over the coming years as well. So yeah, there's a few of us that own moths, but as you can imagine at the moment, we've not had much time. And any time that I've had free, well, over the last 2 or 3 years really, I've very much prioritized getting in the fin. And I've been out on the moth a few times, but yeah, hopefully the moth will fill a little void in the where the fin was in years to come.
And just talking about the fin with the Olympics, what is your plan with that now? You're just going all out for the Olympics, even given the pandemic situation?
Yeah, I am. It's a really odd situation, as you know, as with a lot of things with COVID. But yeah, I mean, it's frustrating really, because my program was very well tailored to mold both the cup program and the games program into one pre-COVID, and clearly that's been made a little bit more difficult as of late. But yeah, I'll finish up here in New Zealand, and then I'll be straight heads down into fin sailing and using all the time I've got to get ready for the games. And you know, it's going to be hard, and I'll only have, you know, 3 and a bit months to prepare. But you know, I'll do the best I can with that.
Before that, you've got to finish up with the America's Cup, and the next target is the Prada Cup itself, which you guys are straight through to. You've got some development time now. How will you spend that personally, particularly when the boat isn't going out sailing, when you're not out on the water? What will you be doing to develop your role?
There's no end of stuff we can be doing, from, you know, getting on top of the Met side with our meteorologist Juan Villa, sim sessions. Obviously there's stuff to help out within the shed, rules, everything really. But we are, you know, we're going to get out on the boat as well quite a lot. We intend to do a reasonable amount of sailing. There's a lot of work to be done in the shed, but you know, we have to keep ticking away on the water too, so there's an awful lot that we'll do there as well.
When you make these changes in the shed, does it have a massive knock-on effect on the way you sail the boat, other than the fact you've got to go out and test it to validate it?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just getting the balance right between getting enough information to be sure that the changes that we've made are performance gains. You know, clearly at this stage in the game, we're not taking huge risks, and we're trying to do things that we're reasonably sure are going to help. But that's never a given. And then just balancing up the development and verifying that with you know, things like race skills. It's a constant balancing act. And as the cup evolves, generally you shift from development phase into you know, racing fine tuning, and the boat is very much, you know, given to the sailors to start thrashing around. And just getting that balance right is always something that we focus on, because, you know, there's gains to be had either side of that. So we have to get that right.
Do you have a favorite race course yet?
Well, I think most of the racing that we're going to do is on this C course, and they've kind of molded the whole B, C, D into one area. So I'm pretty sure that's where we're going to be in almost every wind direction. I like it there. It's a real cool race course. It's tricky, but I wouldn't call it a fluky course. Every wind shift that's there is generally quite, it's quite geographical and reasonably predictable. I think they've got that balance quite nice. It's not like we're trying to race the America's Cup underneath Sugarloaf like the medal races were done in Rio, for instance. I really like how they've divvied up the race courses. And I think you know, where we were the other day is where you'll see the majority of the racing done.
I have to just ask you one kind of final question. Am I right in thinking that when we watch you and Ben, when it's just everything is clicking and you're beginning to extend on the fleet, that you guys are just really enjoying sailing the boat? And yes, it's the America's Cup, and yes, it's all of this work and all of this money, but you guys are just two guys really clicking and enjoying sailing the boat.
Well, of course, yeah. And, you know, we race because we enjoy sailing and we enjoy winning. And when you get those two things coming together, especially in big events like the America's Cup, is enjoyment the right word? I don't know. It's more of a, there's certainly a level of, I don't know. It must be enjoyment. It's a good feeling. And especially when you've kind of come from where we were pre-Christmas, where, we were getting our asses kicked. So I suppose that does make the success we've had to date that little bit sweeter. But that being said, we're only through to the Prada Cup final. We want to go a lot further in the competition than this.
I asked Ben this question. I'll ask you. You can give me a one-word answer or talk about it a bit. Who would you prefer to race in the Prada Cup final, the Italians or the Americans?
I honestly would not be able to pick it. And we've had this conversation a few times as a sailing group, or just over food. And the boats are amazingly similar. The Americans clearly have got their issues, and if they can get their boat out of the shed and it can be reliable, you know, they are quick especially when it's breezy. Prada is very good when it's light, and you know, the crossover is somewhere in the middle, but they can win in the light, win in the breeze. Oh, yeah, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be able to pick.
Would you have gone down that route of two helmsmen if you'd been given the option? Would you have been the other helmsman with Ben?
Well, the way that we divvy up our roles is it's a bit of a hybrid, really, because we're geared up to be able to split helmsmen, and we do, like, you know, I steer out of every maneuver that we do, and also in certain situations on the race course we stay split, so I quite like the way that we've divvied it up. It's you know, if in pure layman's terms, I say, you know, I'm a 80% tactician and 20% helm and bends and 80% helm and a 20% tactician, there is a lot of crossover in our roles, but Ben's certainly still a helmsman and I'm certainly still a tactician, but there's the playbook that we've created is quite fluid, which is quite nice for dynamic situations.
And very, very final question now, the development time that you've got, can we expect to see evolution or some revolution in what you've got left to show?
I think at this stage there's nothing massively, it's not like you're going to see anything come out of the shed that's radically different, but it's with these boats there's an awful lot of fine tuning, and you may think you see nothing, and it's the same for any day that any boat rolls out of the shed. Just because you can't see anything doesn't mean there's nothing there. See what you can see.
Let's see what we can see. Well, the very best of luck with it, Giles, and thanks so much for talking to me. Okay, that's it for this episode of the Yacht Racing Podcast. My thanks to Giles Scott for his time down in Auckland, New Zealand, and to all of you for listening around the world. I'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, I'll just say, sail fast, everyone.